Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And where are we from? And what does that mean about where we're going? Where can we go according to where we're from? What are our possibilities? Who are we? And to help us understand who we are in the deepest ways possible, is the author of a book that may even give you a hint. It's called Slave Species of the Gods, The Secret History of the Anunnaki and Their Mission on Earth. And the author and my guest is Michael Tellinger. Michael, welcome to Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter. Nice to be talking to you.
Now, this is such an amazing topic, and it's so hard for people to wrap their heads around, because it's so different from what they've been taught. And yet, the evidence is there. And most people don't want to know about the evidence. And there's a reason they don't want to know about the evidence, because of the reasons why we exist, we're not supposed to ask about the evidence, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a huge question mark that remains about the three fundamental questions that I've been raising at all my talks and presentations: is who are we, where do we come from, and why are we here? And I know there are millions of people around the world that have asked themselves those questions many times, possibly throughout their life and their lives. But the answers to those questions get more and more interesting the deeper you delve into the research about the origins of our species, origins of humanity. You know, what the hell is going on here? Why is it that we don't know some of these fundamental things? And my research certainly shows that we have become a species with amnesia, because the ancient civilizations and the texts that we find from the ancients seems to be filled with advanced knowledge and wisdom that we have forgotten, or that wisdom and knowledge has been removed from humanity today. And we have to go back and look at the ancient civilizations to rediscover some of this, or most of this knowledge and information that is very different and far removed from what we are taught in our schools and the mainstream education system. So the question of human origins, who we are, where we come from, is a huge question. And fortunately, there are some very interesting indicators that we get when we start studying ancient civilizations. Well, and that's really what I try to put into my book, Slave Species of the Gods, right, which, as you know, is a growing subject. It constantly grows and expands. So that's just like an entry point, a springboard into that subject matter for people.
There's a reason, though, why people don't appreciate it, is because when these artifacts were first discovered, it was before we were a modern culture, before we had modern technology. And so the archaeologists of the past, historians, they didn't understand technology. So they looked at these ancient tablets that depicted technology, and they had no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah. So
all they could say was, nice story, good mythology, weren't they creative? Well, you know, they just had to bury it because they couldn't understand it. But now we're in modern times where we use technology that this reflects, this shows that kind of technology that we didn't know about when we first discovered this. And so we have to go back to this story and revisit it after it's been embedded in our consciousness that it was only myth.
Yeah. Well, first of all, where do you start on the subject? You know, it's one of the things that I've come to realize over the past 30 years is the statement that everything we've been told is a lie. And I remember first hearing it when I was probably in my early 20s, and I read that somewhere, and I thought, wow, what an arrogant statement. I mean, I know that what I learned at university is true, and so forth. And so not everything we've been taught is a lie. I completely misunderstood, misinterpreted that statement. the lies that we've been told over the millennia are so big, and they're filled with such pre-planned and predetermined deceptions and brainwashing and manipulation, is that we don't even know how to spot and how to identify truth. And so right now, my current level of research is identifying, going back throughout history and identifying key moments where certain agendas have been imposed for the next 100 years or the next 1,000 years. And that is a phenomenal discovery and a part of research, just to go back and start seeing how possibly even some of the Sumerian tablets may have been filled with lies and deceptions to achieve a certain deception in future, in 1,000 years or 2,000 years from now. And all I know right now is that pretty much everything we've been told is a lie. We know nothing about our origins. We know nothing about the true history of this planet or this world we find ourselves in. We know nothing about the stars and the heavens above. We know nothing about chemistry, about geology, about true science and the nature of reality. And we are waking up in this new age of discovery, this true age of awakening, where millions of people are waking up every day and saying that I don't believe the stuff I'm told anymore. First of all, the world we find ourselves in is a complete mess. How did it get to this point? If we're supposed to be evolving as a species, if we're supposed to be getting better and smarter and wiser and improving things all the time, how is it that we seem to be regressing? And if we just look back at the last 100 years, and we can see the utter regression of our species into a complete state of enslavement through the capitalist model and the industrial revolution that has created the systems that have enslaved us in this. So it is an incredible discovery and a age of awakening and discovery that we're in right now. And what we're finding is some terrible truth, what I call the terrible truth that we have to face to be able to deal with the ancient past, how humanity has been manipulated for millennia, abused, used in so many different ways, and how we now have the knowledge and information. Once we come to terms with the fact that we've been manipulated and abused, we then at least acknowledge that scenario, that situation. And that then gives us a solid foundation upon which we can build a future of abundance and prosperity for the human race. And that's what I always like to remind people about. No matter what we learn about the history, no matter how much study we do about the Anunnaki and the origin and the cloning and the abuse and the child abuse and the and Pizzagate and all this stuff that's going on now and has been going for thousands of years, the human sacrifice, the unimaginable mistreatment of humanity as a whole, that none of that matters anymore. What it does is give us the incredible depth of a comprehension of how insane our history has been. And we're now at this cross point to decide and make a decision. What are we going to do about it for the future of our species?
Right.
And that's what I find so exciting about.
For a long time, I've been a realist. And before I understood the work you're doing and Sitchin's work, I've always said to people, our souls come to a very stupid planet. That we are a species that is so inhumane, it's ridiculous and stupid. And yet we think that, you know, we're brilliant and come to heaven on earth only to see all these terrible things happen and are even happening now in so many ways around the world. There's still incredible abuse and ignorance, and to think of people who still applaud hatred and racism, and it's amazing what goes on. And you know, I feel sorry for us, but the fact that we're conscious about this, the fact that we're talking about it, is an opportunity. And I also say that our souls chose to come to this.
Yeah.
And they we come here for a higher reason. And it's not that we can simply make it better, but in the struggle to work through this density and this planet, we build our light through love, through purpose, through seeking each other's help, through finding light, the best that we can amidst this darkness. And that really is powerful soul growth. So we are using this planet, we're using how terrible it is for our souls to create compassion and love. And it's a hard way to do it, but I think that's a theme that this planet so far has been here for. And I believe that it's getting better, that we are moving through a rising consciousness now, that and due to the work that, for instance, that you're doing, and I recently, you know, had I don't know if you know Jude Caravan, who's a physicist from England, who is amazing and talks about the conscious universe, that all-pervading consciousness. And the more we learn about that, how alive everything is and awake we need to be with everything, with all of life around us, the more we can preserve it and enhance it. And so it's really important to understand ourselves and to have compassion for ourselves. I did a show on empathy recently. You can imagine how limited empathy is on this planet still. And, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, people are stuck. We become slaves to the capitalist system. We enslaved completely from the moment we are born to the moment we die. We live as slaves to the current socio-political structure. And most people don't know that there's a way out. Most people don't understand how we can get out of it. You know, I've been looking at this consciousness thing and looking through history and how the current knowledge and science and physics and information that we get taught at university and at school, how that has formed and become what it is today. And why is it that we get taught certain physics and science and maths in schools today? And it's just filled with holes and gaps and manipulation and agendas. And you can see exactly at which point a specific agendas were put into the system and placed in there to right. keep the slave species, to keep the slave species enslaved in a level of ever growing ignorance.
And a lot of that was done by the church.
Well, a lot of it done by the church, but then we got to go back and find out who the church is and who was responsible for setting up the church. So keep in mind that everything in our reality today has been constructed for the last several thousand years, probably, you know, 6,000 to 8,000 years, possibly as far back as after the flood, shortly after the flood, when civilization started to reemerge. Whenever the flood may have been, all depends whose research you read these days. But probably between 8,000 and 12,000 years ago, 14,000 years after that event that seems to have caused a lot of water damage all over the world and set back humanity and activity on this planet back thousands or hundreds, possibly thousands of years. After that, we see a whole new agenda emerge on this planet and in our reality. And that is the introduction of money and the slavery system through the introduction of money to the human race. And that changes everything. And that brings us from that moment in time to where we are today. So it's really important for people to, not only when they look at history and look at ancient civilizations and the advanced technologies that they had, that I show in great detail in my lectures and presentations, and the tools and artifacts I've been collecting are physical evidence of advanced technology that was used by these ancient civilizations, especially here in Southern Africa. But when you start putting that into context, you realize that pre-flood, the ancient civilizations did not use money. Money did not exist. They were creating technology and using technology, doing incredible things that we can't do with the most advanced technology we have today.
Right.
So
now we're getting into cyber currency.
Yeah. So you know, we got to look back and start putting everything into context. And you mentioned about archaeologists and historians not understanding things. Of course they don't understand things, because look at what's happened to our education system. Our education system is completely compartmentalized. You study a specific subject and that's all you bloody know. You know, if you talk to a doctor about vibrational medicine, they don't know what you're talking about. Guy that comes from medical school, you know, and yet vibrational medicine is the substance of life. Vibrational resonance frequency is what makes up all everything in creation. So we can treat everything with vibrational medicine. And so you talk to archaeologists that know nothing about geology or know nothing about astronomy or archaeoastronomy. You talk about geologists that know nothing about physics or alchemy. And you talk about geologists that know nothing about electromagneticism and how electric fields affect geology. So you talk to all these people that are elevated to levels of seniority and applaud at universities, and they're a bunch of bloody idiots. They know nothing. They have a degree in something and they specialize in that. But the moment you take them out of their comfort zone, they are babies and they know nothing how everything fits together. And this is how they've mastermindedly divided people and separated people, even in our education system. The whole compartmentalization approach is a masterstroke in keeping people dumbed down and stupid and preventing them from understanding the big picture. And this is what I drive home as best as I can in all my lectures, is everything is connected. You cannot separate anything from anything else. And the more you study and see how everything fits together, the easier it is for us to understand and comprehend the laws of nature and the nature of reality around us, that helps us to understand our ancient past and where we should be going into the future.
I agree. And unfortunately, we need more DNA.
Yeah. Well, that's happening, as you know. Our yes. DNA is activating. That has been shown. A lot of geneticists and molecular biologists have shown conclusively that our DNA is activating, that we are using more and more of our DNA. And obviously we do, because our DNA is just a resonant molecule made up of resonant frequencies. And if certain frequencies in our molecule, of the DNA molecule, have been affected by the surrounding environment, the more we rise in consciousness, the more we create a feedback loop that activates our DNA, that unlocks more of our DNA, that allows us to ask higher consciousness level questions, that unlocks more of our DNA. So we are now, this is why we are in the age of awakening. And enlightenment, where millions of people are waking up and experiencing things that they did not experience before, asking questions that they didn't even know existed the day before. And this is the very exciting time to be alive.
An astronomer recently showed me that our solar system has now risen to a place in the stream of the galaxy that we actually have a direct sight to the central sun of the galaxy. And the streaming energies towards us that haven't been able to reach us before. And that's one of the main reasons why we're opening this way.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. And there's a lot more new information that's coming out. And that's probably for another subject and another debate as to what is this nature of reality, what is this world we find ourselves in, what is our solar system, what is beyond our world, what is the so-called ether. That this is what I've been studying in great detail lately. Even this morning I was reading up about the ancient philosophers and knowledge keepers like Plato and others after him, and they talk about the ether that permeates all of creation. And that ether, that under their understanding of the ether, which is, you can call the breath of creation, the breath of the creator that holds everything in place in creation, or allows everything to manifest into creation, whether it's seen or unseen. And there's a very distinct move in the late 1800s and early 1900s, actually starting with Copernicus and Galileo, and then obviously Newton, and then some of the other scientists that came, and the eradication of the theory of the ether. And even Albert Einstein was very hesitant to get rid of the ether. He said that even his equations, this is what I read this morning, how Einstein was still holding on to the theory of the ether, because he said his theories are difficult to comprehend. I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but it's difficult to comprehend how anything will work without a medium to propagate through. So even Einstein was still talking about an ether, even though they were talking about the relativity and all that, and that, you know, electromagnetic fields don't need a medium to travel through and all that stuff. There was a very distinct agenda, and it's so obvious when you study this, to get rid of this idea of the ether.
Well, it's kind of like our DNA, that how much of our DNA is junk DNA is not active, and how much of the universe is dark matter. It's almost just as high a percentage, and the dark matter is where we're going to unravel the mysteries.
Well, keep in mind that they got rid of the belief for thousands of years that this ether, that the substance of creation makes up the universe and everything in creation. They got rid of the ether, and they had to replace it with something. So they replaced it with dark matter and dark energy. That's what they came up with. Well,
but there is that high percentage of unknown. And it's unknown, like in our junk DNA, that where I think that the answers lie. And that's where we're going to be going next, is to unearth those secrets that we haven't found before. And
well, my philosophy is very simple. If everything comes out of resonance and frequency and is a consequence of resonance, frequency, and sound, then everything is controlled and manipulated or exists as
controlled, right,
as an element of sound and resonance,
right,
and frequency.
Right.
And everything can be explained. Everything in creation, seen and unseen, can be explained from that perspective.
I always say that everything is math, because frequency is mathematical. And actually, I do a lot of work, healing work and consciousness work, using algorithms and creating algorithms and using algorithms that others have created to change energy. And I also have a good friend who is a scientist who is actually powerfully bringing frequencies, resonances into the medical world. It's going to transform it because of his brilliance. And that's what he focuses on, is resonance. And so what you're saying is perfectly true, and it's going to be our future. We just have to get there. And so it takes understanding this and why we're struggling with it. Why are there so many people who can't even listen to this, who they're afraid to listen to it. And that's all of this conditioning that we've had for millennia to control us and distort things, propaganda, and using our fear against us. And it goes on and on. And I also am very interested in the story, and it's in your book, about what happened when the Aryans got going. And maybe they're a big part of the trouble. And they only came after the trouble started, but they certainly added an element of conquering, dominance, and of arrogance to humanity that is amazing, that still persists this very day.
Yeah. The more I look back at it now, and even some of the thoughts and beliefs I had 20 years ago are changing with more and new information that comes. And we clearly live on a planet that's been hijacked by some malicious beings, a species that has been changed and abused, possibly completely destroyed and scaled down to be an obedient, ignorant species.
Subspecies.
Subspecies, possibly instead of being upgraded from some other being, it's quite possible that we may have actually being downgraded from a more advanced being. Whatever it is, what I find fascinating is the story of the Anunnaki and the whole genetic cloning, and you know, just how much we're discovering about our DNA now. I was just doing research again this morning about the deeply encoded five factors and sacred geometry in our DNA, and the resonance and so forth, and our DNA is a very, very advanced, complex, acoustic, resonant, harmonic instrument that manifests everything through harmonic coding, and the sacred geometry encoded in there, and the maths, as you said, that can be used to show that by some of the world's leading scientists that are mathematicians that just crunch these numbers and blow your mind.
And influence it.
Not always good.
And influence it too.
Yeah, and influence it too, exactly. So, but what I find fascinating is in the Sumerian text, you know, we call DNA. You know, when you ask the average person, what does DNA stand for? They don't even know. What does DNA stand for? You know, deoxyribonucleic acid. But yeah, where did that name come from? Wow, that's a really strange name for something that's the essence of life, isn't it? Yeah. We complicate it so much instead of calling things what they are. Like we have Latin names for insects and trees and plants and stuff that nobody understands, nobody can memorize and know. Why don't we call it what it is? You know, call it what it is. And again, you show the compartmentalization and the complication of everything in our lives, from the legal systems that are not laws for humans, but laws for corporations to basically put people under their control. Well, to the names of clouds, to the everything is just so complicated. And then, you know, deoxyribonucleic acid, why don't you call it what the Sumerians called it? And they called it the entwined essence of life.
Oh, I love that.
Which is, wow. We only discovered the fact that it was entwined in the 50s. They knew it thousands of years ago.
Right. Well, there's so much that they knew and is written that you've researched. And there's so much more I'd like to talk with you about. Hopefully we can talk again in the near future. We're running out of time right now. The book that I really got so much out of, Slave Species of the Gods, The Secret History of the Anunnaki and Their Mission on Earth, Michael Tellinger, Tellinger. What's a website that people can find you at?
They can find me on michaeltellinger.com. And also for those that are interested in the extension of this work, go to ubuntuplanets.org and see what we're doing with all this information into providing an alternative future for humanity.
So fascinating. I hope we can talk again soon. This is wonderful talking with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Peter.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening. Thank you.